Welcome back to EAA Radio, 96.5 FM and 1210 AM, and streaming on the net at eaaradio.net.
That's a lot of places
to be. It's a lot of places to be. It's Amy and Rob again.
Wow.
It's a beautiful Saturday morning. Rob, who do we have with us? And this time they are so graciously calling in. They wanted to be here so badly this year and just got caught out on the road.
So we won't mention that they didn't make it to all the fuss here at the actual show, but yeah, actually didn't have to worry about parking. So of course we have Suzanne Kearns, who's the incoming president of the University Aviation Association, who we're speaking to up in beautiful Canada this morning. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
And, of course, we also have Cassandra Bosco, who's the interim executive director of UAA. And I believe we're speaking to you in beautiful downtown Washington.
Yes, you are.
Ah, well, welcome, ladies.
Suzanne, tell us a little bit about the University Aviation Association and what it's been trying to do to resolve the personnel issues that we are beginning to have in the aviation industry.
Sure, absolutely. So the University Aviation Association, or the UAA, is a not-for-profit group that represents college and university programs across Canada and the United States. And the real goal is to serve as a voice for collegiate aviation, so all of the faculty programs can come together, share best practices and strategies so that we can really optimize the quality of aviation training that we produce for these future pilots and technicians and all other sorts of aviation professionals.
You have, you say optimize the quality. One of the things that's been going on this week, there's a college park here at the show, and I have definitely seen the diversity in the aviation programs out there right now. Do you have an accrediting arm, or is there, what do you do to optimize the quality to make sure that we get good mechanics and really strong pilot candidates in the future?
Absolutely. Well, what we want to do is, every year we bring people together, the faculty members come together and they have a range of committees, and those committees discuss what's happening in aviation and share best practice so that we can work collectively rather than all working independently sort of in our own bubbles. We can share what's working and really trying to move aviation forward as a discipline. But you're right, it is very diverse, and probably the most obvious thing people think of when they think of aviation education is piloting, but it's really so much bigger than that. It includes everything from air traffic control to maintenance, management, safety, engineering, as well as, you know, probably the newest discipline, which is unmanned aerial vehicles.
Well, you know, something I'm wondering about, too, having a daughter who's in college now, I know that the process of deciding where you're going to go starts in high school. So how do you guys kind of help reach out to high schoolers to, you know, kind of even get them stirred up about the aviation industry?
Suzanne, I think I'll jump here if you don't mind. I recently attended the American School Counselors Conference in Phoenix, Arizona. There were over 2,000 school counselors there. One of the things that UAA would like to do is start working more directly with the high schools and beyond that, K through 12, to get more students interested in aviation. And we'd love to start with counselors actually suggesting to students that not only is this a cool and exciting industry, but we have jobs. We have lots of jobs. So the minute you graduate school, you're going to be able to start working towards this career for life.
Well, it's interesting, too. And do you find that the young people that you talk to through the counselors, are they leaning any one particular direction or another? I mean, we all think of pilots. I mean, everybody kind of gets that. But what other, you know, are there more people interested in air traffic control? In fact, I met a young lady yesterday who was going to school as an ANP, and I have not seen a lady ANP in a long time.
Well, I think that's one of our challenges, is to make sure that people who are interested in aviation understand that it's not just pilots, although pilots are critical, but
yeah, we're all pretty cool, too.
You can't fly without maintenance technicians, and you can't fly without air traffic controllers. So we're talking about all of the disciplines, and there is a huge job market for everything in aviation right now, and that's where our students have the advantage.
And if I could jump in as well, I find when I stand in front of a classroom of first-year students who have chosen aviation as a career, almost all of them view an airline pilot as the end goal. But when I stand in front of those same students 4 years later who are graduating, once they've studied different aviation disciplines, and they've really come to understand and appreciate the real range of career possibilities, that many of them want to be pilots, but many others, even who have completed some flight training, have set their goals on maybe becoming an aviation lawyer or a regulator. And I think that's what's so wonderful about having a degree in aviation, is that you can become a wonderful pilot with a really rich knowledge base. But it also opens up the world of higher education. You can go get your master's degree. You can specialize in some of these professional designations as well. And our industry needs those people as well.
Well, and one more part of it, you can move into the business sector, either through the airport management or port authority management, and even into, and we see this here on the field, obviously, all these vendors, all these different aviation businesses.
And even within the flight training group, they may make think they're interested in the airlines at the beginning, or they may decide to go with business and corporate aviation. As you said, there are just so many opportunities across the board.
Well, what do you think are some of the big hurdles that you kind of face at UAA and in this concept of marketing essentially aviation careers to young kids?
I can jump in. I think the biggest obstacle or challenge facing young people who are passionate about aviation is always the financial piece associated with that, in that unfortunately flight training is expensive still, and sometimes it's a struggle for people to figure out how they're going to pay for that. And so there are advantages going through the university or college route, because you can, at least where I am, it's easier to access student funding to cover some of the flight training costs. Unfortunately, I think that's a hurdle that is not going away. It's going to probably continue to be a challenge in the future. And perhaps with the pilot shortage that has been predicted, maybe we will see more opportunities being presented through scholarships and sponsorships because the need is going to get so great.
Yeah, and I'd like to add on to that. That certainly is the case. But like in any industry, anything, law school, doctors, CPAs, you do have to pay for the educational part. But because our industry needs so many pilots and maintenance technicians, et cetera, the organizations are aware of that, and they're creating pipeline programs. The regionals especially are creating pipeline programs for students to come directly through college into their program to get the appropriate flight training. They are working on scholarship and tuition reimbursement programs. So by the time this next generation graduates, there will have, many things will have been put into place.
Well, you're talking about the something like the JetBlue Gateway Program. Is that what
Yes.
you're referring to? And that's, I've had some experience with that. That is a really elaborate program, and they've got 8 or 9 schools and growing that they tap into to do that?
Absolutely, and that's through one of the regionals as well. So mm-hmm. they're the pipeline that pulls them through. It's through Cape Air.
Yep, Cape Air, and
program.
Now they're using ExpressJet
as well.
It's
kind of the
gold
standard.
Yeah, they're using ExpressJet as well. So you have 2 options for the regional. So there are a lot of different ways to go. They're actually bringing those kids in and interning them, you know, well before any kind of pilot or anything like
yeah.
that. So they see the full operations. The other thing is like Delta having an engineering scholarship that they offer through Women in Aviation.
Mm-hmm.
That's huge.
Yes.
And it's not a piloting scholarship.
And I will add that Women in Aviation and UAA have vast numbers of scholarships that students should really take advantage of. There's so much available out there.
And that is the problem sometimes, is that scholarships go lacking because students either don't know they're there or they think it's too much work to apply. But it's worth it.
It absolutely is. And that's part of our job, is to make sure that students are aware of that.
What are you doing to do that?
Well, we just have put together an online directory of the college and university aviation programs. It will be available starting in September. Students can access that, find out where they'd like to go to school, find out there will be links to scholarships, there will be links to camps, and eventually we're hoping interim programs. In addition, I want to mention that there are some high schools that are working with the collegiate aviation programs to provide sort of AP classes. So you take those classes and you enter the aviation program with, say, 30 credits already built onto your resume.
I actually had one other question I was thinking about when we were talking about the shortages. Does UAA look to or interact with any of the people in Europe or Asia or any place like that in terms of how those continents, you know, find their young people to fill the jobs?
We have a few members that are from Europe, but traditionally it's been very much a U.S.-based organization and with some Canadian involvement as well. But I think that that's something that's going to change in the future. I think the U.S. has a really rich and vibrant aviation training sector, which is not quite the same as in other parts of the world. But that being said, the need for pilots is so great in the Asian markets and the European markets, it's much greater than in North America. So as that shift happens, I think we're going to see more and more interest from other parts of the world, and the UAA is going to be excited to work with those groups collaboratively and see how we can optimize the quality of education for all of these young professionals.
Well, it sounds like there's a lot of...
Absolutely, I agree. I also want to mention that Boeing this week put out numbers saying that the world's airlines need to hire 28,000 new pilots annually.
Yeah.
That's just pilots.
Yes.
That's nearly 600,000 in the next 20 years.
Sherry Carberry was here.
600,000 in the next 20 years for aviation maintenance technicians.
Wow.
We also need helicopter pilots. We need air traffic controllers. As Suzanne mentioned, unmanned aerial vehicles is going to be a huge emerging technology. A lot of excitement and a lot of opportunities for young students to have a career that will literally last them their lifetime.
Well, it sounds like there's a great many resources that are going to be available to kids once they listen to our show, I think. So tell us, where can people find more information about UAA and all the great work you're doing?
We have all of that available on the UAA website at uaa.aero, uaa.aero. We welcome student members, any members from corporations. It's a really exciting time in our industry. There are challenges, but I think the opportunities available are just really outstanding.
Cassandra Bosco and Suzanne Kearns, thank you so much for taking the time to come and speak with us on EAA Radio here at AirVenture 2015. You guys have an amazing day, and we'll look for you at uaa.aero. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks,
enjoy,
ladies.
Oshkosh, everybody.
You bet.